The Bible is full of stories, but the way the Bible tells stories is different from the way that we tell stories in our 21st century world. We love lots of details. We enjoy a good character development. But in the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, details are few and far between. But when we do get some details, it is very, very important that we take notice. Over the next 5 weeks, we are exploring the book of Ruth, one of the Bible's most beautiful stories. Today is more of an introduction than a sermon as such, and we're going to be focusing on the first four verses of chapter one, which Caroline has just read for us. So here's my question. What should we expect from this story? What should we expect from the book of Ruth? Well, the book of Ruth is about everyday people and everyday faith. Everyday people, everyday faith. So we read in verse 1, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Pretty basic detail. There's a famine. A man and his family from Bethlehem go and live in Moab. At this point, we're not told his name, his wife's name, or the name of his two sons. Just that there was famine, he was from Bethlehem, and he goes to live in Moab. The Lord be with you. I grew up with this phrase. When it was spoken by a clergyman on a Sunday in a church wearing robes. Little did I know that I would grow up and be that very minister, dressed in robes in a church, saying these very words, "The Lord be with you." This phrase, of course, comes from the book of Ruth, and it's first spoken by one of its main characters, Boaz, who was not a priest, but a farmer. And when he first spoke those words, it was in a field and not in a church. And when he said those words, "The Lord be with you," he was speaking to a team of laborers and not to a congregation. The Lord be with you. This is a prayer for God's presence, a prayer for God's favor in ordinary places among ordinary people. The Lord be with you as you join a Zoom meeting. The Lord be with you as you go on that first date. The Lord be with you as you do the ironing. The Lord be with you as you plan your holiday. The Lord be with you as you join that protest, as you defend your thesis, as you come out of lockdown. The Lord be with you. And the book of Ruth is an exploration of how the Lord is with us. How the Lord is with ordinary people in ordinary places, in painful times, in complicated times. The book of Ruth is an exploration of how the Lord is with us even when we don't see him or feel him. Last Sunday, Emily introduced us to a new liturgical season, ordinary time. Why do we call it ordinary time? Well, we call it that because it's about ordinary people being apprenticed by Jesus in ordinary places through ordinary experiences. You see, life is the school of discipleship. Life, in all its ordinariness, is the place where Jesus apprentices us. And I wonder if you have thought in these terms before, that Jesus disciples me through my current life experience. So here are two questions which are worth asking yourself regularly. Even better, here are two questions which you could ask someone else and they could ask you when you next meet. Here they are. What one thing is happening in your life at the moment? And secondly, how can your faith in Jesus shape this experience? What one thing is standing out for you, is happening in your life at the moment? And how can your faith in Jesus shape this particular experience? Now, you could ask those two questions the next time you go for a walk with someone, the next time you sit down for coffee, maybe at the start of your small group, maybe at the beginning of a church business meeting. So the book of Ruth is about everyday people and an everyday faith. The book of Ruth is also about the redeeming power of relationship, the redeeming power of friendship, of family, of marriage. And when I talk about relationships having redeeming power, I mean the power to bring life, the power to bring hope, the power to bring change and challenge. One of the things I do not want to lose from lockdown is the focus on the importance of people and on relationships. Hands up if you've had greater contact with your wider family during lockdown. My hand's in the air. Hands up if you reconnected with friends you had lost contact with over the years. My hand's in the air. Hands up if this time has been so positive, has been such a positive experience for you and your immediate family. If you get a chance, do make sure you listen to Contact Online this week with Janelle and Patrick Rowland, and you'll hear both Janelle and Patrick share about the benefit of lockdown to them as a family. So this extended period has at times been a blessing to relationships. But this also, the benefit of relationships, the benefit of friendships goes way beyond local friendships and family. Even it extends to our neighbours. Some of you will remember Michael Harvey. Michael Harvey spoke at All Saints 2 or 3 years ago on invitational church. And I was listening to Michael this week, and Michael described how the street that he lives in has created a WhatsApp group so that they can look after each other and plan the party once lockdown is finished. Now, what must that be like for the elderly living in that street to know that their neighbours are attentively and actively looking out for them? See, that's redemptive friendship. The book of Ruth is a story about how genuine, loving, faithful relationships cannot just transform the life of an individual or a couple or even a community. But the book of Ruth is about how redemptive relationships can actually transform a nation. And it spotlights this truth with a remarkable contrast. This story begins with the phrase, in the days when the judges ruled. Now, taken at face value, this phrase is offering us the time frame where this book is anchored. So if we're wondering when the book takes place, well, there it is. It took place during the time of the judges, that time in Israel's history, after it entered the promised land and before Saul became their first king. It was during the time when the judges ruled. Heroines and heroes like Deborah and Gideon and Samson, it was in that particular time. But this opening statement is telling us so much more. In the days the judges ruled. Well, that's a bit like saying during the 60s or during the Second World War or when your mother was alive. And back in Northern Ireland, when somebody said the words during the Troubles, you automatically were there, not only rationally but emotionally. You immediately got the context. You got the dates and the bombs and the bullets and the sectarianism and the pain and the grief and the hopelessness and the glimmers of hope. Just that one phrase just connects you in so many different ways. And this phrase, in the day that the judges rules, does exactly that. It's much, much more than dates, but it's connecting us deeply into that period, a turbulent period, a period of social decline, when faith took a back seat, when everyone did their own thing and played by their own rules. A period when Israel as a nation was deeply humiliated as they became oppressed time and time and time again by their neighbours. There was no central government. But every now and again, a hero or a heroine would be raised up by God and take a stand, usually with military might, and wrestle Israel free from oppression and lead them back to the Lord. And this cycle of being oppressed, being rescued, and then drifting away from the Lord again would be repeated 11 times. Each time, the oppression getting worse and worse and worse. And the book of Ruth is placed inside this cycle of oppression and rescue. And so we read this first phrase when the judges ruled. We read that phrase, and immediately we are posed with the question, will the book of Ruth be exactly the same? Will this be a story about oppression, a hero being raised up, a great rescue using military might to free Israel? And the answer is no. In the book of Ruth, there's a sudden sea change. There are no obvious military heroes or heroines, at least not in the same mold as Deborah or Gideon. There are no great acts of military courage, at least not in the same mold as the courageous military acts of Deborah and Gideon. But what we do have is the redeeming power of friendship, the redeeming power of family, the redeeming power of marriage, the redeeming power of relationships, relationships which we will see that have the power to bring life and hope and change, not just to individuals, but a culture. You see, in a time when everyone did their own thing and played by their own rules, we will watch Ruth commit herself sacrificially to Naomi as a friend and as a family member. In a time when women were vulnerable and exploited, we meet a man called Boaz who will refuse to take advantage of Ruth, but instead will speak up for her in the company of men. In a time when neighboring nations were at each other's throats, we watch as two women from different racial backgrounds build a bridge towards each other. And we are invited to imagine how this might play out in our relationships. The redemptive power of sticking by a friend in hard times. The redemptive power of building a friendship that bridges divides. The redemptive power of family, of friendship, of marriage. The redemptive power of valuing neighborhoods. The redemptive power of sacrificial love. Rachel Gardner is a leader in a church plant called Preston Minster. If you want to know about Preston, ask Maxine Kibble. Her church has been distributing food during the lockdown in the UK. And there was an elderly man who had been reduced, literally reduced to sucking tea bags because all his food had run out. And he had contacted one aid agency after another. He eventually contacted the police, who put him in contact with Preston Minster. And it turned out that the food and the groceries that he wanted were all available through Preston Minster. And as they were packaging up his grocery bags, they phoned him to ask if he wanted any milk. And he burst into tears. And he cried because he was convinced that no one cared. But here was the power. Here was an act, a powerful act of sacrificial kindness by this church community towards another human being in their community, in their neighborhood. Redemptive acts of love can be transformational. Individually, yes. Within families and friendships, yes. But also within communities. And finally, this is a story which we could say is a story that surprises us with hope. Maybe not so much surprises us with hope, but we are surprised where this hope comes from. St. Augustine said that hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. anger that things are the way they are, and courage to see that things do not remain as they are. And the story of the book of Ruth is a story of hope. It's a story of anger. It's a story of courage. The anger we see because of Naomi's terrible pain. Anger with life, even anger with the Lord. And we see courage and the hope that comes from this. The courage that she needs and which she will find in Ruth. Now, these opening verses end in tragedy. Opening verses of verses 1 to 4 of chapter 1. By the time we've reached verse 4, 10 years have passed since the family left Bethlehem. Elimelech, her husband, is dead, as are her two sons. Can you imagine that? Naomi is alone, save for her two daughters-in-law. And here's the thing. Don't miss this. Neither of her daughters-in-law are Jews. They are Moabites. They are Gentiles. You see, a Jew crossing the Jordan from Bethlehem to Moab, that was really strange. A Jew settling down and living in Moab for 10 years, boy, was that controversial. But a Jew allowing his sons to marry women of another ethnic group, that was unthinkable. And yet, this will be a story where a woman of another ethnic group, someone outside the family of Israel, an outsider whose heart is captured by God, will become the one through whom God will bring in his love and his life and his hope. Each one of us has an invisible force field that surrounds us. We use it to let people in and to keep people out. We use it to exclude some and to embrace others. Fear often plays a big part in whether our force field is a force field of exclusion or a force field of embrace. Right now, COVID-19 has meant we are cautious, quite literally, on who we allow to get close. Our experience and our culture and our ethnic background can also have a bearing on who we exclude and who we embrace. The current cultural moment, this current cultural moment of a global pandemic, COVID-19, and this current cultural moment where our focus is very much on race, racial divide, this current cultural moment is an invitation for all of us, each and every one of us, to reflect on who we exclude and who we embrace. As we will see next week, Naomi, a Jew, will embrace Ruth, a Gentile. And in this embracing, be enriched with hope and a future. Who are we excluding? Who is God calling us to embrace? It's Miroslav Volf, this Croatian theologian that I've talked about in recent Sundays. It's Miroslav Volf who uses this idea of exclusion and embrace. He was a Croatian growing up during the civil war in the former Yugoslavia, a civil war that pitted Christian and Muslim against each other. And out of that, he wrote a book, a theological reflection, which he called Exclusion and Embrace. And he describes how each of us have an identity, and we either have a hard identity which excludes or a porous identity which is open to embrace. And quite recently he was signing books in Zagreb, and he was speaking about this book, Exclusion and Embrace, and he was talking about the will, the openness, the desire to embrace people who are different from us. And as he was speaking, there was a guy at the back, and he could see that the guy at the back just didn't take his eyes off him. And deep down, he knew that at the end of his talk, this guy was going to ask him a question. And here was the question that he asked. But how do you get the will to embrace? Where do you find the desire to embrace the other, that person who is different from us? Probably in this case, a Muslim embracing a Christian embracing a Muslim. And this is what Miroslav Volf said. He said, it begins as we see each other through the eyes of Christ, who has not excluded us, but who has embraced the entirety of humanity. So we're going to be spending time in the book of Ruth, a book that's about ordinary people in ordinary places, having ordinary experiences, and those experiences being opportunities for transformation, discipleship, that life is a school of discipleship. I think we're going to discover that this is a book that speaks to us about the power of redemptive love, the priority of relationships. And finally, this book, in this particular cultural moment, is going to speak to us about the opportunity to embrace those that are different from us. And in the embracing, be enriched and be an enricher. Amen.